One of them said, well, I'll sing before you preach, and you can sing before I preach. So that's what we're going to do. Just exactly what we're going to do. So David, you come and sing for us, and then Paul, you come and bring our final message.
Told David, he's preaching in our meeting next weekend. We're having a meeting next weekend, David and John Chapman preaching for us. And I didn't ask him, I told him I want him to preach that message. And then I just told him, I'm commanding you to sing that song when you come. I don't have that kind of authority, though, do I? I'm asking you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me, everything you've done to bring about this meeting. And you ladies, thank you so much for all the food that you've prepared. And just wonderful. It's just been wonderful. Thank you so much. And your pastor has, David, he has just cooked and cooked and cooked and served us. My, we're just both impressed. Aren't we? We don't want our wives to know how much he does in the kitchen. But he fixed us biscuits and gravy and bacon and eggs yesterday morning. And I don't eat like that every morning. And I called my wife. I said, Mindy, I'm going to stay a few more days. Right. A few more days. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed being here, and that message was a blessing. Thank you. I love that. I love that man. John chapter 14. Go with me to John chapter 14. John 14. Now, these are the words of our Lord to his disciples. These are not to the world. He is not speaking to the world. The things he is saying is to his true disciple. Judas had left. He told him to leave. Right before this, like a dog, he get. What you do, do quickly. Go on. And he got out of there. He was a tare. He was a goat. He was not a sheep. And the Lord told him to leave. Now he's got something to say to his disciples. These were men that he had chosen. Men he loved. Men he revealed himself to. They knew him. They knew him. Because he first knew them. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. These men were called by him. They didn't call on him, he called them. He chose every one of them. They didn't choose him. He kept reminding them that, didn't he? You didn't choose me, I chose you. They knew who it was that called whom, who it was that chose whom, who it was that saved whom. But they did know him because he revealed himself to them. Salvation is to know. Our Lord said this in his prayer to the Father in John 17. This is life eternal. This is what it means to be saved. To know thee, the only true God. Not a God, not some God like men today believe in. You know, God wants to be God if you let him be God. He is no God at all if you let him. God, you don't let God do anything. And salvation comes when he lets you know he is God. He reveals himself to you. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Meaning there's one who is truly God. Absolute, sovereign, creator, ruler, controller, despot of the universe. Doing as he will, like he said, with whom he will, because he will. And nobody can say a thing about it. That's God. This is life eternal, to know him. Be born of God, born of his word, by the preaching of the truth of God. And Jesus Christ, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The sent one. His oath, his covenant, his blood. This oath, this covenant, this purpose before the foundation of the world, that God purposed in Jesus Christ. In himself, in his mind, in his own will, his own heart, to save a lost people. They couldn't save themselves. Dead in trespasses. This is life eternal. God revealed himself, revealed Christ to, revealed the truth to, isn't it? He that doesn't know this God, doesn't know this Christ, the Christ, doesn't have life. These men did. They knew it because he first knew them. Loved them, revealed himself. But how well did they know him? And this is what I want to try to do. I can't do it. I don't try to do anything. This is what I'm going to declare. It's what our Lord said to these men. He said, if you only knew me. He said to Philip, down, look at verse 9. If I had a text, it would be verse 9. He said unto Philip, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Have I been so long time with you? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So they're full of doubts and fears. The Lord told Simon Peter right before that. He said, you're going to deny me three times before the sun comes up. And he told the rest of them too, you're going to forsake me. All of you are going to forsake me this night. And then he told them, I'm leaving you. And I'm going away, didn't it? And so they're afraid. They're fearful. They're full of doubts and fears and worries and unbelief. The two things he told them are the two things that every true child of God fears the most. We fear that we will forsake him and leave, won't we? Don't we? Isn't that what we're afraid? That my sin is going to overcome me, the world's going to overcome me, and I'm going to leave. And he told them, you're going to forsake me. You're going to deny me. And then he told them he was going to leave. And the thing the child of God fears is that the Lord will finally be done with them. Okay, I've had enough of you. Right? You've sinned too much now and it's over. I'm leaving. I'm going to forsake you. That's what he's leaving us. We're going to leave him. But now he's going to allay their fears. He's going to tell them why he's leaving, why they must forsake him. It was all in his purpose, wasn't it? Our two biggest fears is the Lord will leave us and that we'll leave him. And it's a good sign, a good evidence if you fear that. The world doesn't care. They don't even believe God. They don't care. They're not here. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Do you fear that? If you fear the Lord, you do. Well, and the title of this message is Our Little Known Lord. If we only knew him better. And this is why Paul said, oh, that I might know him. If we knew him better, our doubts and our fears would be less. We would have, if we really knew him and believed him and trust him, we would have very little fear, very little doubt, very little worry. We'd have perfect peace. I think it's Psalm 9:10 says that they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. His name is what, who he is and what he does and what he has done. Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope through this message that we'll, if you don't know him, the Lord will reveal himself to you. And if you do, you'll know him a little better and trust him a little more and have less doubts and fear. This world's full of fear, isn't it? We have brothers and sisters, believers, full of fear. When our Lord told his disciples, too, they were full of fear. And he said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I own this place. I've overcome this world. Everything, even the breath of my people are in my hands. Isn't that what everybody's worried about, the breath? Your breath is in his hands. God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, not a figurehead, an absolute sovereign, reigning and ruling, who came to this earth to do a purpose, to do the will of God, and he accomplished it, went back, sat down, and he's running this whole shooting match. Ain't nothing and nobody outside of his absolute divine sovereign control. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. What does that leave out? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you know him, if you really believe that, doesn't Psalm 121 say, he that keepeth Israel, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel. He's keeping us. Fella had trouble sleeping. He had insomnia. And he got up and read that psalm. He said, well, if the Lord's not sleeping, I think I will go sleep. This is the Lord, not a figurehead. As he said, you don't make him Lord. He makes you to know that he is. And then he rests. If we really knew him, we'd have perfect peace. And that once Isaiah 26:3 said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. For in the Lord Jehovah, he's the rock of ages. That foundation. Everything's built on him. It all riding on him. It's all on his shoulders. He got big shoulders. These disciples heard from him. They saw him. They heard things. Like he read that if everything that was that he'd done was written, the world couldn't contain the book. And John said many things he did in the presence of his disciples. Didn't it was that? They heard. Hey, no man spake like this man. They were alone out there on the water with him. Remember on that ship, and he was asleep. He's the one that raised the storm. Remember? What's he doing? He's sleeping. That ship can't possibly go down. But they're scared. We're dying. This is it. Didn't they thought? They went and woke him up. Don't you care? Isn't that what they said? Lord, don't you care? Care? Have I been so long time with you? I came down. I left heaven. I left glory. I left my Father's throne to come down here because I care for you. Now cast all your care on me. Come back here and go to sleep. You're not floating this boat. Right? Sleeping. Rest. Peace. This is the Lord. The only one. They heard. They saw. They said, no man. They said, what manner of man is this? That's just it. He's not just a man. God was manifest in the flesh. They saw the blind to see. They saw the lame to walk. I don't mean they had arthritis in their knee. They were born crippled. He saw them with a word. Get up. They saw the lepers clean. I don't mean they had one little spot. They were covered from head to toe. The flesh was falling off their bodies. He saw them be clean with the word. They saw the deaf to hear. They saw the dead to rise. Our Lord never attended a funeral that the person didn't get up and walk away. Because you can't stay dead in the presence of life. I've seen the same things. I've heard the same voice. Not an audible voice, but I've heard his voice. He called me from death unto life one day. I am Lazarus. I'm that prodigal son. How about you? Some of you. Many of you. Huh? Weren't we? Saul of Tarsus. Right there he is. Saul of Tarsus in religion. Right? Right there. David, you might not know this, but he auditioned for Jimmy Swaggart's piano position. If God hadn't come and called you out of darkness into light, you'd be playing the piano for that false prophet right now. Dead. In religion, but dead. That was my father, a young Saul of Tarsus. But God. My dad didn't do anything. God did it all. But God called him. From the dead. I've seen people sit and sit and sit and sit and sit, like me, hear message after message after message, having ears to hear and not hear a thing. And one day, in the fullness of time, God sent his message. When God said so, in his time, he said, hear. It's like a light came on. It did. He did. Hmm. They were like children. These disciples were like children. They were, and we are too. And they acted like children. Look at verse 36, Simon Peter, chapter 13. Look at chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? He told him he was leaving. Where are you going? I want to come. Right, Walter? I want to come. Why can't I come? He said, you can't come. Where I go, you can't come with me. He's going to the cross. He's going to do a work on Calvary's tree. The work of redemption is not a cooperative effort between God and man. It's the work of God himself. It's the work of Jesus Christ by himself. When he had by himself purged the sins of his people, he sat down. You remember the story of Abraham taking Isaac up on that mountain to sacrifice him, his son? That's Christ crucified, okay? When Abraham was taking that son of his only begotten, well-beloved son, up there to sacrifice him unto God, he had some young men with him, and he said, you stay here. You can't go up there. This is between the father and the son. They're going to do this. You're not going to have a part in it. When Christ went to, there were 12 men in the upper room. There were three in the garden with him. But when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he was alone by himself. And he did this work because salvation is of definite article. The Lord. One, he said in this text, John 14, one way, one truth, one life. And these three are one person, one work, Jesus Christ, the name crucified. And Simon Peter, though, like a child, you know, he was their everything. He was there. When he called them, he said, follow me. Two words. Every one of them heard the same call to follow me. They dropped everything. Woman at the well dropped everything. Whoever God calls, they drop everything. They drop their old religion. They drop their knowledge. They drop their profession. They drop their works. They drop their will. They drop everything they ever thought they knew about. They drop their old God. They drop their everything. They leave father and mother and houses and land. They follow Christ. Now, Christ is their life. And they did. They did. All of these disciples did. And they followed him. He was their everything. He was their father. He was their mother. He was their brother. He was their provider. He was their wisdom. He was their righteousness. He was their sanctification. He was their redemption. He's their provider. He's their protector. He was everything. He was their big brother. They never worked a job. They never provided anything. They had one pair of shoes and one suit of clothing and no job and no money coming in. How'd they get by? Same way you and I are. He provides everything. We've never provided one thing for our own. This is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He's the one that doles it all out. They knew that. And now he says he's leaving. And they're to a man, every one of them. They're like little children. Where are you going? Thomas said, where are you going, Lord? What way are you headed? We'll follow you. He said, no, you can't go. Oh, why not? Did you ever do that? I remember as a child, we'd go on. Dad would leave and be going somewhere I wanted to go. I said, I want to come. Can I come? No, you can't come. Why not? And they were all saying that. Because he's going to do a work alone on Calvary. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father then. Just show us something more. Show us a sign, an apparition, a vision of the Father. He said, Philip. This is when he said, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am your Father. I'm God. After all he'd seen, after all Philip had heard, he still had doubts and fear. How much have we heard? How much have we seen? What has the Lord done for us? How many years? And yet we still have doubts and fear. What's wrong with us? We don't know him well enough, do we? We just don't know him well enough. He said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's not asking a question. There's no question mark there. But he's not saying, do you believe in God? No, he said, you do believe in God. Why? Because he revealed the Father to them. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom he will reveal it. He came to reveal the Father. Who is the Father? It's him. They're one. I don't understand. I don't either, but I believe it. How can that child is born, that son be given, how can he be the everlasting Father, the God and the everlasting Father? I don't know, but he is. I believe in him. But Thomas, my Lord and my God. You believe in God, he said. I believe in God. I didn't decide to do that. Grace, faith is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's according to the working of his mighty power, Ephesians 1:19. Right? You believe because God said, believe. He didn't ask you. Jesus Christ never asked anybody anything. No, he didn't. Kings don't ask their servants anything. Kings don't ask their subjects, will you let me do? They give commands. And if you don't do it, what'll happen? That woman at the well, you know, she said, why is it you, being a Jew, ask of me water? He didn't ask her for water. No, he didn't do that. He said, give me to drink, didn't he? You read it. He didn't ask her, Larry. He said, give me to drink. So that's his well. That's his bucket. She belongs to him. He never did take a drink. He didn't come there to get a drink. He came to give her one. What's that? Ain't a what? It's a who. He never did take a drink. He left there. He came for what he came for. Her. She said, why are you asking me? No, she's an Arminian. Arminians think that God can't draw anything. Can't do anything unless we let him. I'll draw for you. No, I'm not come for you to draw for me. I've come to draw you. And he did. His arm's not short. If he wanted to drink out of that water, out of that well, he didn't need a bucket. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. And they knew him. He said, you believe in God. Believe also in me. Why? Because I am that I am. I'm God. God, who is God. God, our creator. God who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. God who reigns and rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God, even in whose hands the king's heart is, and he turns it whithersoever he will. Who's going to be elected? Are you in suspense? Just quit. It's who God puts there. We don't elect anybody. We sure don't elect God. Choose God. He chooses us. Is that right? Yes. They knew that. They knew that. You believe in God. God who purposed all things, predestined all things, ordered all things before the world began. God who kills and makes alive. God who wounds and God who heals. God who creates peace and creates evil. Isaiah 45:7. That's God's word. Deuteronomy 32:39. That's God's word. God who doeth all things. God who, he said, I declare the end from the beginning. Things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. God who said, I've spoken it, I'll do it. That when God purposed it before the world began, nothing could stop it. It's going to happen. Whatever. That's God. And that God was manifest in the flesh. He's not Jesus the man like people think. And you need to do like he's been saying. We've been saying, that's another Jesus. You need to leave him outside your heart's door. Don't answer the door. Right? Because he can't save a flea. That's what they said when he was hanging on that cross. He saved others as himself. He can't save. God put him on that cross. He voluntarily, one last show of who he was in the garden. They came for him. He said, who do you seek? They said, Jesus. I am. And every single one of them fell to the ground one last show of no man taketh my life from me. And brothers and sisters, no man taketh your life from you. God does. I had a dog 15 years old, and I loved that dog. I chose him. I bought him. I wrote a contract concerning him. I took him home. I set my love on him. I taught him everything he knew. The first thing I told him was sit. Then I told him, follow me. Heel. Stay right beside me. You'll be safe. Okay? And he did. And he came when I called him. I'm a good dog owner. I'm a good master. He came when I called him. Our Lord's a better owner than I am. His people come when they call. Okay? And when it was time, he started getting tumors all over him. You know, I didn't want to part with it. But when it was time, nobody could tell me when it was time. That's my dog. And I said, one day, it's time. And you know, I took that dog, Larry, I took him down in the woods. And 2 or 3 weeks before that, I had been digging his grave. I dug his grave. And I took him down there with me. I said, Abner, lie down in that grave. I measured that grave. And then when the day and the hour came, I said, it's time. Lord did that with Moses. Remember that? And he does that with every one of his people. Why? Because he's God. What are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? Things don't kill. God does. Is that right? What other peace could you have? How could you have any peace? A loved one get cancer. My sister died of cancer at 42. Oh, it's awful, isn't it? No, it's God. My brother died at 21 from a stray bullet. It wasn't a stray bullet. God sent it. How could you have any peace otherwise? But there's peace in knowing and believing that thy God reigneth, that he does all things well. And what he does, all things that he does, works together for his purpose. And one day we're going to know that purpose and we're going to say, hallelujah, I'm so glad you did this. One day we're going to know as we've been known, we're going to say, I'm glad I couldn't change it. And it all works together for good. Unspeakable joy, Brother Darvin. Unspeakable. And we're going to say, like his disciples, why was I so tore up? If we just know him better. He doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't do anything hastily. He doesn't do anything unwisely or that's not good. It's not the best. It's not only good, it's the best. It's the only way. The only way. Why don't we trust him? He said, you believe in God, believe in me. Well, they're all, where are you going? Where are you going? Lord, I want to go. I want to come. He said, if you'd known me, if you'd just known me, and show us the Father. I am the Father. So this is life. This is life. Let me just tell you a few things we need to know better about our Lord. Would allay our doubts and fear and our unbelief. And it just reveals how little we know of him. His perfect love. Perfect love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Perfect love. What's perfect love? It's love that never fails. Huh? First Corinthians 13, is it 9? But charity never fails. Is that what it said? Never fails. True love. Never quits. God's love is perfect love. Whoever God loves, he always loves. He has loved with an everlasting love before the world began. Set his love on him. There's nothing lovely about any of us. We're not worth loving. Nobody's worth loving but God, rich in love. Set his love on some, not just a few, a number which no man can number. He shouldn't have loved anybody. Oh, bless God. He loved the people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. Every kindred, every family. And they're not noble. Not many mighty, not many noble. You know, my background is Scotch-Irish. Everybody wants to be Irish. Why? They're heathens. They went to war naked. My kinfolk ran around naked. heathens. God chose out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue, a people, set his love on them. So much so, he gave them to his son, the son of his love, to live for them, to die for them on Calvary's tree. And buddy, whoever God loves, he saves. This is effectual love. This is sovereign love. This is saving love. Do you love your children? I ask people this all the time. They say God loves everybody. Okay. Everybody's not God's child. Everybody's not God's children. He said that. He said to some Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. If God were your father, you'd love me. And if you love me, it's because I love you. But you don't, because you're not my child. You're not my sheep. Didn't he say that? But his sheep, buddy, if he loves them, he's going to save them. Wouldn't you? I have an only daughter, and I have two granddaughters. I love them. I don't think you could love anybody more. If I could save them, I would. Don't you think? Would you? Would you let them? People say, well, God loves you, but, you know, you can't violate your free will. Number one, you don't have a free will, and if he doesn't violate your will, you'll go to hell. Amen. If God doesn't say, I will, and you shall, you won't. It is God that worketh in us both the will and do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Right? Not of him that willeth, him that runneth. Romans 9. It's of God that showeth mercy. And whoever God loves, he's going to save them. What if your child was walking out in the middle of the street and you love that child? Here comes a car. Honey, please. Honey, please, come on, get out of the street. I don't want to violate your will. What kind of love is that? You want that kind of love? I want love that loved me before the world began, and it loves me now, and it'll always love me. I want love that's going to save me. That's the love of God. Whom he loves, he saves. I ask people this all the time. Say, does God love perfectly? Yes. Does God love eternally? Does he love everyone eternally? They say yes. I said, you mean there's people in hell right now that God still loves? I don't want that kind of love. I don't want the love to send me to hell. I want love that will take me all the way to glory. That's the love of God. Perfect love. If you knew that, you say, how can I know that God loves me? Do you love his son, Jesus Christ? Do you love what you're hearing right now? Do you love the truth? Do you? It's not presumption. It's not. Do you? He said, you believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, the Father loves you because you love me. That's what he said to them, right? You followed me. You've heard my... Have you heard his voice? Have you heard this and believed? Have you? Have you confessed him? Yeah. Why? Because he did it. Or you wouldn't have. God loves... Smile. God loves you. There was a bumper sticker on that ark. It wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside. Smile. God loves you. Who was in that ark? Why? It's who God chose. Those animals. Not one animal went in there. No, lions don't come when you call them. Oh, no. He changed their nature. Come. They went in that ark. Changed my nature. Come. Wild ass's coat. You look at the wild ass's coat. One day he said, come. I did. He got on me and rode me. This is the God of the Bible. This is Christ. This is when salvation comes in. His perfect love. His love never fails, always saves, never quits, no matter what. Perfect love ought to cast out all fear. He loves me. He'll always love me. Never quit loving me. We have little reason to worry and doubt about the fear of one another, you know, husbands and wife and all that, because we're all a bunch of no good sinners. Liable to leave one another at any time because we're so little like Jesus Christ. He never leaves. You don't have to worry about him leaving you. We're the unfaithful bride. He's the faithful husband, right? That's my salvation. He said, where's the bill of divorcement? Show it to me. I've never given you one. He won't do it. He hates putting away. His perfect knowledge of you. His perfect knowledge of you. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. David said, Lord, thou hast known me. Psalm 139. You know me. Not a word in my mouth you don't know. There's not a thought in my head. There's not one thing, single thing I've thought of doing that you don't know. Not one single thing that I've done you didn't know. Not one single thing I have done, do now, and will do that you don't know. But what? Love covereth. Smile. Love covereth. Love doesn't expose. Love covereth. That's what Christ did. He covered. He went to Calvary. He went, stood before Herod. He never spoke a word. Why? He became me. And when the law, when we're guilty, your mouth stopped. And he died with all our secrets. He died with every sin, knowledge of every sin of every God's, all of God's people. And he put them away, and they'll never be brought up again. Why? Love. My dad used to whip me with a belt. He used to whip me. Yes, he did. He took his belt off and thrashed me. They'd want to put him in jail today, wouldn't they? But he did. All right? Did he love me? I know he loved me. To this day, he can't remember what I did for him to thrash me with that belt. To this day, before he died. I tell him, Dad, I'm ashamed of some things, but he doesn't remember. It's like it didn't exist. Did you do that? I don't remember. What is that? Love. His mercy. If you knew more about his mercy. One song, David one time got so down, so depressed, so worried about his own sin, about, you know, everything. His house and people of the world like we do, you know. And he said, is his mercy clean gone? Is it clean gone? And then he came to himself. The Lord brought him to himself. And he wrote Psalm 136, 26 verses. Every single verse said, his mercy endureth forever. Like a broken record. His mercy endureth forever. That's our salvation, Brother Darwin. And his mercy endureth forever. What's mercy? It's sparing us for Christ's sake. It's kindness of God. It's mercy. It's tenderness of God. If we only knew of his mercy. He's so merciful. He delights to show mercy. What do you delight in? What do you take delight in? Anything, anyone, something you delight, you take pleasure in? Huh? Fishing? I know you know. Jesse, I know. Walter, I know. We were talking about it. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in them that hope in his mercy. It gives him great pleasure. It's the thing that he takes most pleasure in, showing mercy. What's the thing I need the most? What I need the most, what he takes great pleasure in. And you can't, never a time you can't come to him, he won't show you mercy. Never. Isn't that something? If we only knew it more. Well, he's going to cut me off now. Not possible. Ready to pardon. God, ready to pardon. I'm going to tell you something. I preached a little while, and I'm going to tell you something. A little girl said that about my dad years ago. She said, I like Brother Mahan's preaching. He'll preach you a little while, and then he'll tell you something. Meaning a story. My granddaughter, Isabella, my first one. I love her so much. I didn't think I could love a grandchild like I did my child, but I do. Boy, isn't that a good illustration? And God love his people like he loves his son? He does. But one day, and I wish I had that Bible with me, I left my Bible open, First Chronicles 13. I left it open there. I had a pen laying on the Bible, a pen. I stepped out of the room, and I came back in. Isabella was standing there. She's about 2 years old, and she had a pen just writing her epistle all over my Bible. The scribbling. It's my Bible. I said, Isabella, stop. And I went up in front of her. You know, she was standing there in front of my footstool, and I sat down in the chair. I said, honey, look what you've done. You've marred my Bible. I wasn't happy. She didn't know what she'd done. I had to make her realize what she'd done. I had to grant her repentance. I had to make her feel guilty. Before long, her lip was sticking out. I love her with every fiber of my being. You know what, Brother David? You know what I was going to do? I'd already determined what I was going to do. I ain't going to cast her out. She was forgiven before she ever repented. I had to give her repentance. I had to make her feel sorry. I had to make her understand what she'd done. But Darvin, I'd already forgiven her. We killed the Son of God. We marred the Son of God. He's got eternal scars on his hands that we did. But God knew that. God purposed it. You know what God said? That's why he sent him. And he determined, he purposed to forgive them all before they did the act. Before they knew what they'd done wrong. And he sent a gospel preacher at Acts 2 to make them all realize they'd killed God's Son. Now they're in his hands to do with as he pleases. And they all were fearful and afraid of this Jesus Christ and had no interest in. And they'd rebelled and rejected and despised. But God, now here's love, had already forgiven them. And Christ, you see, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth everything. And this is our righteous representative, the very Christ that we killed, the very Christ we marred. Hanging on that cross, the first words of his mouth, Father, forgive them. They know not what they've done. But they're going to. And to a man, to a woman, to a young person, they're going to ask, they're going to realize, we've killed God's Son. We're not interested in God's Son. We thought we did this. We thought we did that. And then, you know what? She marred that Bible permanently. I still have it. And you know, listen to it. Now, every time I turn to 1 Chronicles 13, I see those scribble marks. And Bo, I think, oh. Honestly, I say, look at there. Scars. Oh. That's my children. I did that for them. If we only knew. He's ready to pardon. His grace, his goodness. He's ready to pardon. He's ready to receive. He's long-suffering. He never turns away. Him that cometh to me, Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, no matter what, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've strayed, they will all do. And he calls you back by his grace. He that cometh to me, I'll never forget that. Never, ever, never, never. We had a brother. We had a brother that left his wife, left the gospel. I loved him dearly. We all loved him dearly, and I told him, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't come here. You leave your wife. You can't come here." She stayed. I said, "One of you got to go, and you left her, so you can't come." He left. Well, eventually, she left. Years later, I felt compelled to call him. And that girl, she left the gospel, so it appears that neither one of them knew the Lord. Well, I called him up and said, John, I was just thinking about you. I said, if you'd like to come back and worship with us, we'd love to have you. He just broke down. He said, I've been waiting on this call for years. I've been waiting on this call for years. And that's been 10 or 15 years ago. He won't leave my side. Oh, he's the most grateful person in the universe. my second granddaughter. He won't turn anybody away. He won't do it. If you knew him, you got to come to him. My second granddaughter, one time, I was sitting up in my study. I had one in the attic, a little study in the attic. And she came up. She came up and said, "Papa," she said, "I've come up here to tell you that me mom told me I was not to come up here and bother you." Do you think that I told her to get out? I said, "Honey, you come right here and you sit on my lap. That wasn't meant for you." You come anyway. You come boldly. Come bold anytime. Free access. I will never turn you away. You can't impose upon love. That's his love. That's our God. That's our Christ. Sovereign. Just. Merciful. Gracious. Kind. Ready to pardon. Full of grace and truth. How do you know somebody? Let me just quit with this. Faithful, long-suffering, patient, forgiving, forgetting. How do you know someone? How do you know someone? That person's got to make themselves known to you, right? No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2, no man knows the spirit of man unless the man reveal him. You don't know me unless I reveal myself, and vice versa. Neither can we find out God. Neither can we know God unless he makes himself known. Okay? But secondly, and once he does, how do you get to know someone better? You talk. You communicate, don't you? If you don't talk to somebody, you don't know them. If you don't talk to somebody, you don't love them. You live with them. You really get to know somebody when you live with them, don't you? You married couple, well, I'm not asking you that. We thought we knew each other, and then you start living together. Male and female. Dog and cat, you know. And only love's going to hold that together. Well, we dwell with him. We commune with him. We talk to him. We walk with him. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham, we draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. That's how. God reveals himself right here. Like he quoted Romans 10. God reveals himself through preaching. Faith cometh by how? How? What's it say? Hearing. By you searching and digging in the scripture? You ought to do that, but it's not going to come that way. It's going to come what's happening right now. You tell me, when you have more assurance, when you have more faith, when you have more peace, when you have more joy, when you have more comfort, more consolation than after you've heard some man stand up, and if God blesses it, you've heard him preach the gospel. And buddy, your fears are gone for a little while. Right? That's what God, aren't you glad? He said, come, where I'm at. How do you know somebody? You go with them. You follow them. You go where they are. Well, Christ said, where two or three are gathered, that's where I am. You love him. You want peace, you want comfort, you want consolation. You go where he is, go with his people. No, we're not practicing social distancing. We're practicing social closeness. That's what sheep do. Sheep just get together and they get as close as they can. Why? Because they're under a shepherd. Right? Now, you scatter and you'll be afraid. But you gather together with his people. And you see that the Lord is your shield, your covering, your protector, and whatever is sent, he sent it. And he gives it, and he can take it away. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. If we knew him better, and he says, have I been so long time with you? Have I preached so many messages to you? Have you heard so many messages? And you don't know me. What's wrong with us? Let's trust him, okay? Shall we? There's peace. There's peace. There's comfort. Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you.